From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Coming up this week, a prominent New York State senator, New York City councilman, and four others are arrested in an alleged plot to rig the New York City mayor's race. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts about the latest political scandal, and we'll take a look at legislation being introduced to increase maple sugar production across the state. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. New York State Senator Malcolm Smith and New York City Councilman Dan Halloran were arrested this week in an alleged plot to rig the New York City mayor's race. U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara said in a statement that Smith tried to bribe his way into a shot at the New York City mayoral race. Bharara says Smith drew up the game plan and Halloran found party chairmen who were open to receiving bribes. The arrest included four others, including two from the Hudson Valley's Rockland County. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn has more.
Village of Spring Valley Mayor Nora Mijasman and Deputy Mayor Joseph Desmarais face bribery and mail fraud charges in connection with a federal corruption case stretching from New York City to Spring Valley to Albany. Here's Jasmine during a news conference streamed at LOHA.com at Village Hall.
I'm Mayor Nora Mijasman. To the media and the residents of the Village of Spring Valley, on the advice of my counsel, I cannot discuss the case or allegations against me, or as long as there are outstanding charges. We will vigorously defend against those charges to restore my good name. I'm asking the community not to prejudge me, rather to keep me in your prayer for my good name to restore. Thank you, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
According to the Journal News, the Democratic mayor did not take any questions regarding her future in office, nor did she take questions on the mail fraud charge that she solicited a developer for a financial share of a proposed community center on property owned by the Village of Spring Valley. Spring Valley's board has three trustees. As of Tuesday, according to trustee Demesa Delhomme, the trustees were talking about what to do in terms of whether the mayor will continue to run the village. Four others are charged in the case: State Senator Malcolm Smith, New York City Councilman Dan Halloran, Bronx County Republican Party Chairman Joseph Savino, and Queens GOP Vice Party Chairman Vincent Tabone, in an alleged plot to rig the New York City mayoral race. According to the complaint, Smith agreed to use his power as a senator to help obtain state funds for a road project in Spring Valley. That, in turn, allegedly was to benefit a real estate project that Smith believed was being built by a developer who was actually an undercover agent. Rockland County District Attorney Thomas Zugaby says the case began with an investigation that did not involve elected officials.
Well, this case actually commenced in Rockland County approximately 3 years ago. It was an investigation being conducted by the Rockland County DA's office, and when it became clear that the case extended far beyond the jurisdiction of Rockland, we then contacted the FBI and brought them in to take the lead on the investigation, since many of the acts were not in this county.
He declined to detail what prompted the initial investigation. And he says the investigation continues in Rockland County in relation to the federal investigation. He summarizes the charges against Mayor Jasmine, New York's first Haitian-American mayor, and Deputy Mayor Desmarais.
The mayor and the deputy mayor are accused of basically receiving bribes. The charge was mail fraud, but that's for a variety of reasons. But they're both accused of using their office for their own personal benefit and collecting bribes. In the case of Mr. Desmarais, he's accused of agreeing to a cash payment. In the case of the mayor, She's accused of demanding a ownership interest in this private company if she steers the land basically towards them.
And that private company, says Huckabee, was created by the FBI.
The sign out front saying coming soon to community center was a sign created by law enforcement as part of this criminal operation investigation. And as a result of that situation, the mayor had promised to use her position for those purposes.
A day after U.S. Attorney Preet-Bharara called for better leadership in the fight to cut down on political corruption, Huckabee has a word of caution for the public.
You know, I think the public should not assume, based upon the fact that corruption has been disclosed, that it's something more widespread than what is apparent here. It's unfortunate here that you have individuals who decide to accept money to sell their offices for their own personal gain, you know, for greed, for arrogance, and forget about what their sworn duty was. I don't think this should be a broader indictment of elected officials in general. I think for the most part, most of them do their job, do it honestly, and do it properly.
Spring Valley has a population of about 31,000 residents, with a broad mix, including both Haitian American and Hasidic Jewish communities.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
Meanwhile, just one day after State Senator Smith was arrested for allegedly trying to bribe his way onto the ballot for the New York City mayoral race, government reform groups said New York's politicians need to enact public financing of campaigns. More now from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
The government reform groups say the latest scandal once again emphasizes the need to get money out of politics. They're seeking a statewide public campaign financing system. Citizen Action's Karen Sharp says public campaign financing can't completely eliminate corruption. After all, New York City already has a public campaign finance system, but she says it could change the mindset and make the pay-to-play culture less pervasive.
If you think about how our system works right now, if any everyday New Yorker, any person decides to run for office, the first thing they get asked to be taken seriously is how much money can you raise? And the first thing they have to do in order to just even have a chance at being taken seriously is to raise tons of money. You can't run for assembly or senate and be taken seriously unless you can raise hundreds of thousands of dollars. So the people who decide to run are the people that feel comfortable and have those relationships and can raise those big dollars.
Bill Mahoney with the New York Public Interest Research Group points out that even though the case involves the New York City mayoral ballot, it's still fundamentally a state government-based example of alleged corruption. He says Senator Smith is accused of steering a $500 million road project out of the state budget to benefit a Rockland County developer as part of the deal.
This was a state senator who was seeking money from somebody who was ultimately going to be getting state grants. This involves a state budget. This involves sitting state legislators. This is more of a New York State case than a New York City case.
Senator Smith's scandal adds to the long list of over two dozen state lawmakers in the past decade who've been arrested, jailed, or reprimanded for bad behavior, says the League of Women Voters' Barbara Bartoletti.
You could probably have a quorum in some of the upstate correctional institutions.
Bartoletti says the second part of any campaign finance reform plan is proper enforcement. She points out that the State Board of Elections, which is charged with enforcing present campaign finance laws, currently has no investigator on staff. Governor Cuomo has said creating a public campaign financing system will be a priority for the second half of the legislative session. It begins April 15th. The governor has said he'd prefer to set up a separate source of funding, not from taxpayer money, to pay for a matching grant system. Mahoney with NYPERG says that's a good plan, but he points out there is enough money in the state budget to cover the costs.
I don't think anybody can look at the budget that passed last week and say there really wasn't $50 million worth of pork in there and waste. We saw in the indictment itself there was still money that was being handed out for political purposes. Once that money stops coming into our system and people stop giving state money to people solely because they donated to their campaigns, that would more than cover the cost of a public financing system.
Governor Cuomo was in Oswego as part of a post-budget victory tour of the state. He was asked whether the Smith scandal has overshadowed the governor's message that he's made government in Albany more functional.
The government is working better. Do you have acts of venality and possible corruption and illegality? Yes, you do. And this current situation is very, very troubling.
Senator Smith himself has been a past sponsor of public campaign financing legislation. The name of his bill was Clean Money, Clean Elections. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartuck. I mean, Alan, you just can't predict what's going to happen in politics from week to week. This week, of course, if you don't know, State Senator Malcolm Smith, along with the Councilman Dan Halloran and four others, were arrested and charged with allegedly being involved in a plot to fix the New York City mayoral race this year. Malcolm Smith was looking to get a Wilson Pakula.
Oh, Wilson Pakula.
Yeah, let's start there, Alan. Go.
Okay, let's remember what Wilson Pakula is. The New York State Legislature has never been a good place, period. The reason is that they try to, as my mom used to say, take advantage. So in 1949, I believe, they passed a bill called an assemblyman named Pakula, and a guy who was a favorite of Rockefeller, Mr. Wilson, Senator Wilson, passed a bill that says, if you want to run in a party that is different from your own, you have to ask permission of the party that you want to go into to run in the race. Malcolm Smith is a Democrat. He was the Democratic leader for a while in the Senate. Then he joins the rogue, some people call the traitors, the Independent Democratic Conference that has broken away from the regular Democrats and has made common cause with the Republicans. We think, or at least I think, because, you know, Cuomo looked the other way and sort of liked it, in order to keep the Republicans in control so that he could appear not to be the bad guy when he said no about expenditures, you see. And so I have some sympathy for him, but that's apparently what's up. Anyway, so they passed this thing called the Wilson-Pakula Act, which means you got to get three out of the five county chairmen to say that they will allow you to come over and run in the other party. That's Wilson and Pakula. It's stupid, of course. The reason they did it is to maintain even more control by the political parties, and both political parties were all too willing to go along with it. So Malcolm Smith needed those three signatures, and according to the allegation, goes about bribing them to get it. Now, if this is true, what a dope. I mean, honest to goodness. I mean, that's idiot stuff. So, you know, you go ahead and you try to bribe them. And here's the thing of it. Think about how stupid it is. As I said to my students the other day, you say a secret to your best friend. Is it really a secret? Probably not, because the best friend will probably go and tell somebody. You say that secret to six people, forget it, you're done, cooked, fried, over. And that's what happened. All these guys were in there. How long do you think it is before the FBI figures this out and the U.S. prosecutor, maybe he's politically ambitious, I don't know. All I know is that when they arrested Malcolm Smith and the other guys, the reporters were already there. Somebody told the New York Post. There's an interesting relationship. And they were there taking pictures of the poor guy getting out and being arrested and put in the car. You know, in some cases, when high-ranking people are arrested, they let them surrender themselves. But not this time. And there were the newspapers to take the pictures. How did they find out? Okay, so anyway, isn't Albany a wonderful place? Now everybody comes out and says, oh, this is all proof that Albany is corrupt. Well, let me tell you something. It is true that it's immoral. Corruption is defined as something that happens when you break a law. These people play by rules which are much more sophisticated than what this guy, Smith, was accused of doing. The lobbyists come along, the people who want something come along, they give you incredible amounts of money. Nobody ever says into a microphone, if you'd vote for this bill, I'll give you money. That's against the law. Nobody's going to do that. But what they are going to do is to create a society in the legislature in which rich people who want something, or businessmen or others, they give money to your campaign, and then you know what your instructions are. There is honor among people, among legislators, just as there is honor among thieves. I wonder what that relationship is. In any case, that's the story.
Of course, Alan, after this all went down, good government groups came out and are calling for campaign finance reform, including publicly financing campaigns. You also, again, in your conversation with Assembly Minority Leader Brian Kolb, heard a proposal from him saying that if donors gave $1 to the Democrats, they would give equal money to the Republicans because he doesn't support, he says, the public financing of campaigns. What do you make of the idea that we could get this done in Albany?
Well, Andrew Cuomo wants campaign financing. When he runs for president of the United States, which he certainly will when he gets a chance, it would be a nice mark for him to be able to have brought campaign finance to New York City, to New York State, I'm so sorry, because this is something that Democrats like. Democrats generally don't have the same kind of money, big money givers, that the Republicans do. They have some. There's no question about it. But they love the idea of campaign finance reform. Cole doesn't like it, he says, because his constituents wouldn't stand for having their hard-earned tax money used to support political campaigns. Well, there used to be a guy on television in one of the Goodwrench commercials, I believe, who used to say, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. So I'm an advocate of campaign finance reform. I think it's a very good idea. I think it will even the playing field. I think it'll give people a chance to run who might not run if they had middle-class credentials as opposed to being very wealthy. And I think that that's true. You take a look at Congress, and almost everybody's a millionaire. Because, you know, some guy who works in a Gristides is not likely to say, oh, I think I'll run for city council today. Oh, yeah, where you got the money? Who are you going to hire? You know, the rest of it. So I think campaign finance is a good idea. The governor thinks it is. And in New York State right now, the governor is the whole game. We used to talk about three men in the room. Now it's one man in the room, and he's it because he controls the Republicans. If they get out of line, they're not going to be in power anymore. He's going to call all the Democrats back together, the so-called Independent Democratic Conference, and he's going to lecture them and say, I want you all to be one party, and then the Republicans are out. You know what I think, David? I think the Republicans are out no matter what. I think New York is getting bluer and bluer. And these jerry-rigged arrangements to keep the Republicans in power, which I happen to believe Andrew Cuomo has a lot to do with. He certainly isn't making any moves to keep it from happening. In any case, you know, I think campaign financing is going to happen in New York State because Cuomo wants it. One other thing, David, and that is, I have to say that campaign financing would not have stopped the Malcolm Smith scandal in New York City, because New York already has campaign finance law of the toughest kind, and I think we should all remember that.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. The state's senior U.S. senator announced he's introducing legislation to increase maple production across the state. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley was there and filed this report.
New York Senator Charles Schumer, a Democrat, traveled to Parker's Sugar House in West Chazy on Monday to watch and learn how maple trees are tapped and the sap is boiled to create maple syrup.
Oh, wow. Look at this.
Parker's is one of the largest producers in the state, tapping 42,000 trees on 700 acres, using state-of-the-art vacuum tubing between the trees. Despite large operations like Parker's, Senator Schumer says there's huge untapped potential across the state.
Demand for maple syrup here and abroad is far outpacing supply, but we currently tap less than 1% of our maple trees. We have 200 million more potential taps than Canada. Right now, according to the Cornell study, more than 82 million in potential revenue is stuck in trees across the state. It could grow to over $93 million a year, boosting rural economic development throughout our state. All we need to do is tap more of the trees.
To accomplish that and become the global leader in maple production, Schumer is introducing the Maple Tapping Access Program Act, or the Maple Tap Act.
It will provide USDA grants of up to $20 million a year to states that create programs which encourage individual landowners to open up their trees to maple tapping. It also has grants for market promotion, maple industry research and development, and education. The much-needed grants are in addition to the legislation, making this bill an even bigger boost to New York's economy than the version I introduced originally. and I will push my colleagues to immediately pass the TAP Act, which must be taken up before the Farm Bill extension that passed in the fiscal cliff that expires this September.
One of the maple producers asked the senator for help in gaining access to trees in the Adirondacks, which have been blocked to tapping.
A lot of the state land is in Adirondack Park, which is forever wild. And there's a lot of potential in the Adirondack Park, which I think more of our potential is in the Adirondack Park than is in the rest of the state. Is that going to be addressed?
Why should tapping trees interfere with any forever wild? You're not chopping them down. I will call state DEP. So we're going to make that an additional thrust.
Parker's sugar house owner, Earl Parker, is a past president of the Northeastern New York Maple Producers Association. He hopes the legislation will help producers that have been blocked from accessing more trees for years, especially in the Adirondacks.
They're looking at tapping some of the state land that's not being used for anything. It wouldn't hurt it at all to be tapped. It's just drilling a small hole. We got trees here, been tapped for 150 years, and we wouldn't be destroying the trees or cutting them down or anything like this, or we're just taking a little bit of the sap to increase our production.
Cornell Maple Program Northern Maple Specialist and Yulene Forest Director Mike Farrell says a Cornell study found there are about 300 million potentially tappable trees in New York, most in the North Country.
Maple syrup is the fastest growing ag industry in the last 5 years in the U.S. There's great demand for the product, and more people are tapping the trees to make more syrup to fill those markets for the syrup.
Farrell was glad to see the TAP Act in last year's Farm Bill and is more enthusiastic to see Senator Schumer reintroduce it with the addition of grant programs.
I think that's one of the best aspects of the bill because it gives states and universities the opportunity to use the money in the way that they best see fit for their state. It would provide the seed money for different types of research and education and marketing and promotion to get the word out about tapping the trees, making the syrup, and then selling the final product.
New York State currently taps about 1.8 million maple trees.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. Copies are available. Call 1-800-323-9262. That number, 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1314. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.